The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Well, this past weekend, we had a program here in the UK, Life Lessons from Herbert W. Armstrong, that was posted at thetrumpet.com, I believe, on Friday. And it brought in 150 requests for Herbert Armstrong's autobiography. That's the second time that we've offered that huge book here on television. I think the first time it was sometime in the fall, five, 6 months ago. So I was telling the ladies that stuff the mail on Mondays to bulk up over the weekend to be able to lift all of those books into those packages. So it's great to see a pretty good response there, particularly after both the ring-ins seemed like they were a little bit lower than usual, the Saturday morning and the Sunday morning ring-ins. But I guess with all the trickle-in and the additional text messages and orders online, it amounted to 150. So great to see 150 of those books mailed out to this particular part of the world, all across England and Scotland, hopefully, Wales, Northern Ireland. We typically get calls from just about everywhere. Well, over the last several months, I've tried to draw more attention. Here recently, of course, I've focused more on the website and the content and just some of the upgrades and changes. But in recent months, some of you will remember me frequently referring to the Trumpet magazine as well, and just how much in front of the headlines the monthly magazine has been. I mean, this is a publication that we prepare weeks in advance and then finally distribute, and it goes all over the world. Those articles, of course, are also posted a little bit earlier online. But you can go back in time. You can go back to some issues from last year or the year before and really see the Trumpet magazine, 2, 3, 4, 5 months ahead of the headlines that then come out in the New York Times or the Washington Post or Spiegel magazine or wherever it is, the Telegraph here in the UK. God really is giving us a voice. He's amplifying this message. And he's wrapping it up in the quality you would expect with any project that God puts together. Over the weekend, I read this email that came in response to our publications. This comes from someone who previously had criticized this work. He works for, or has worked for, I think, for different publications over the years and spent some time following our lawsuit with the Worldwide Church of God many years ago, the fight over Mystery of the Ages. But he's even after some of that critical writing, he's followed us. He's followed our work online. He's followed our publications, our magazines, our booklets. And the more he's stayed in contact, the more impressed he's been with the message that's going out, the work that's being done, God's work. Let me just read a little bit from what he said in an email. He said, I've been deeply impressed by what I've seen in the Trumpet and online of late. I do not know of any other group descended from the Worldwide Church of God that is as masterful and dynamic in presenting its message as is the Philadelphia Church of God. The Trumpet is the kind of magazine, in terms of scope, written quality, and excellence of design, that is without peer. And of course, he works in the industry, the publishing or the news gathering, editing, layout, design, all that. He's worked in that industry, so he does speak from some experience. But he says here, the email messages and the weekly, those email messages, by the way, you know that we've changed that here recently. we're sending out now, the Trumpet Brief, doing our best to keep up with those daily demands. But he says the email messages and the weekly publications are also to be envied. He says what Brent Noctegal is doing with the Watch Jerusalem website is another stunning and impressive achievement for your organization. Finally, he writes, in short, when it comes to being savvy about content and super smart about distributing that content online and via social media, you and your colleagues are setting a tremendous example. So that's some nice feedback coming from someone who's followed this work for a number of years. And we don't bring it to your attention just to pat ourselves on the back, but to just emphasize something that even Herbert Armstrong often emphasized, just the quality of God's work and the production that goes into all of this. And sometimes we just are so eager to get the message out, we forget about what God has done. We forget about what God is doing and the standard of excellence that's always there with God's work. It's not that we don't make mistakes. It's not that it didn't start small. It was a mustard seed beginning. And of course, if you go back far enough, you can look at some early editions of the Trumpet magazine and, not really even consider it a magazine, more like a newsletter. But it's grown over the years, like the mustard seed. And now look at it today. You can pick up any one of these Trumpet issues, any one of these Trumpet magazines from a few months ago, and see just how spot on it is. And look at the headlines today. Make the comparison. On yesterday's show, I referred to this G20 summit in Germany over the weekend and how in the lead up to it, the United States pressured member nations to delete that pledge that had been in there for, I guess, more than a decade. The pledge to promote free trade. And going into this particular meeting, the United States said, well, we don't want to have that in there. We want the focus elsewhere. And the rest of the nations went ahead and complied. But as we'll see here with some of these other stories that continue to pour out, they're responding to these protectionist policies of the Trump administration. They're moving forward on their own. Well, not really on their own. They're banding together. They're ganging up against the United States. It's happening. The trade wars have started, as we said yesterday, as Brad McDonald wrote in the latest Trumpet magazine. All those articles that came out several weeks ago, it's now in print. That magazine's been distributed. It's gone all over the world. And look at these things that are happening. The phone call that Chancellor Merkel made to the Chinese president just before she visited Donald Trump last Friday, making sure that Germany and China had coordinated their policy, their trade policy, ahead of these meetings from last week, or the meeting that she had with Donald Trump last Friday. We've been talking about these trade wars all along. China steering the world toward war. And Germany now, as we said in the latest Trumpet magazine, Germany is the nation to watch. Germany's the one with the biggest trade surplus. But China's not that far behind. The New York Times, by the way, had a piece today, just today, talking about the high tariffs that China puts on U.S. cars, using the Jeep Wrangler as one example. It costs something like $40,000 to buy a new one in the United States, but you buy that same Jeep in China, and it's $70,000. $30,000 tax. And so, as I've repeatedly said, I mean, the Trump administration is right. It's right to gripe about these things. It's not exactly fair. But what's more important to emphasize is where this is leading. what Bible prophecy tells us about what's going to come of this. This trade war. Trade wars have begun. That's what we said yesterday. That's what we said in the latest Trumpet magazine. It's already started. It's not about anticipating what might happen. They have started. And we've been telling you for years that it would be here. It's here. My father wrote in Isaiah's End Time Vision. This was from 7 years ago. We believe there may be a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers, Russia, China, Japan, the kings of the East. And he, in that passage, went on to paraphrase that Mart of Nations prophecy in Isaiah 23. This dynamic market of nations. Yes, indeed, we believe there's going to be this brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers. And you have Chancellor Merkel now calling China before her trip to the U.S. And then when she gets back, immediately contacting Japan for other trade agreements and negotiations. It's all happening so fast. We have an article at thetrumpet.com today. Germany and Japan, champions of democracy and free trade. Let's look at this. They held important meetings, as we said in the piece, following Chancellor Merkel's visit to the United States. She goes home and immediately enters into negotiations with Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister. Our article at thetrumpet.com, it says, following the meetings with their American allies, both Abe and Merkel called to quickly seek free trade deals between Japan and the European Union. It's happening fast. They see where the United States is headed. They see the direction this is going in, and the other nations are mobilizing. They're coming together, seeking free trade deals, knowing that the United States is now putting up barriers. What was it that Herbert Armstrong so often said would trigger so many of these end time prophecies? He said, you better watch the economy. You better look at what's happening in the world economy. This is what he said from a sermon. I think this is from back in the 1980s, clip one.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of a blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
The economic situation in the world, and he was talking more specifically about the union in Europe, the nations of Europe coming together. And so you know about the 10 kings, Revelation 17, 12, the 10 toes in Daniel 2, these 10 nations or 10 leaders, 10 groups in Europe coming together as that final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And then the Bible speaks also of a king of the south, radical Islam, headed up by Iran. And then there's also another world power or alliance in the East, kings of the East, as the Bible calls them. But like my father says in Isaiah's End Time Vision, Germany, this Holy Roman Empire, the European Combine, there's going to be a brief alliance between Europe and the Asian powers as well, the kings of the East. That's what's talked about in Isaiah 23. That's the Mart of Nations prophecy. Let me just read a little bit for you. It says, the burden of Tyre, Isaiah 23:1, how you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in for the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. That's the ancient name for China. Tyre represents the German-dominated EU. It says, verse 2, and like I mentioned yesterday, and this is in Brad McDonald's article in the latest Trumpet, all these references to the sea and ships and then these nations coming together. It says, but still you inhabitants of the isle, you whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished, and by great waters the seed of Sior, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations, or this great market of nations, this dynamic market of nations, this trade pact, this trade alliance that freezes out the United States, that freezes out Great Britain. As I said yesterday, I mean, this really is spelled out clearly and concisely. And it's not just in Brad McDonald's piece. There's one, I'll get to this in just a second, but it's right after his article by Richard Palmer. First, you've got trade wars have begun. That's on page 4 of the latest Trumpet magazine. And then after that, Latin America, front line of trade war. I'll get to Richard Palmer's piece here in just a second. But first, this one from Bloomberg. This is Bloomberg from just yesterday. Germany, Japan push trade pact in Merkel bid to stymie Trump. They're pushing for this now. They're responding to Donald Trump. They're reacting to the United States turning inward. Says German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called for a concerted effort to defend free trade. See, that's the way they're portraying this. Hey, we're defending free trade. It's the United States that's slapping taxes on things. Forget about, you know, what China's doing with those Jeep Wranglers. And this is all the United States is doing. And so we've got to come together and stand up for free trade, they're saying. This is all to counter the U.S. shift toward protectionism. Now the U.S. is out there saying, look, we're not really. We're for free trade, but we want it to be fair. But how are other nations interpreting these statements by Mnuchin and some of the other spokespeople for the Trump organization? It says, after clashing, listen to this. I mean, this is Bloomberg's take on Ms. Merkel's visit to the White House on Friday. It says, after clashing with President Donald Trump on economic policy at their first White House meeting, Merkel called for swift conclusion of a trade accord between Japan and the European Union. It says here, that followed a renewed German-Chinese commitment to open markets on the eve of her trip to Washington and Merkel's backing for a free trade accord between the EU and the Mercosur, the South American economic bloc. I mean, Germany's taking action. Germany's reaching out to Japan, to China, to the South American nations. And what are we focused on right now in the United States? What are we focused on in Britain? Well, it's on the Brexit negotiations. And in the United States, you have all the hearings. You have the one on Gorsuch for the Supreme Court nomination, and then the other one, James Comey's testimony yesterday. You know, did Russia tamper with the U.S. election? Is President Obama responsible for spying on Trump? Who leaked the details of these investigations to the New York Times, to the Washington Post? And meanwhile, trade wars have begun. Trade wars have begun. What a massive distraction. All of this internal squabbling and fighting. What a massive distraction it is for the United States. Well, speaking of that free trade accord between the EU and the Mercosur nations of South America, here again, the April edition of the Philadelphia Trumpet. Page 8, I think it is, Latin America, Front Line of Trade War. It's by Richard Palmer. It says here, Europe has deep trade and cultural links with the region. As Europe unites, it will look to project great influence here, speaking of South America. And Richard says, you can also expect China to grow its presence in the region as well. And why is this important? Well, again, because of Bible prophecy. Let me read another verse to you. This is from Deuteronomy 28. We read this often, but let's read it again about the siege. Deuteronomy 28. There's so many prophecies in your Bible about the blessings and the cursings. The cursings to come upon the latter-day descendants of Israel. Cursings for disobedience. It says here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 52, that foreign nations would besiege you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted. Throughout all your land, it says, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all the land which the Lord your God has given you. The United States is being besieged. The gates, Richard brings this out in his piece. It's talking about these vital sea lanes through which trade goes. All of these goods, imported, exported. And God talks about these sea lanes being cut off by foreign powers. Richard brings out in his piece that this couldn't happen without Latin America. I mean, we're seeing the German-led EU reaching out to China, reaching out to Japan. But just like this Bloomberg piece brings out, they're reaching out to South America as well. In other words, the U.S. and Britain are being surrounded. And these lanes are being cut off. Even now, Europe and Asia, South America, they're building this dynamic market of nations. Latin America is going to be drawn into this trade alliance with the EU, with the Asian nations, and it's going to pose a massive threat to the United States. Notice what Herbert Armstrong said in 1962.
But city governments then began to arm themselves against other governments, and there began to be strife, not cooperation, but war. One trying to destroy the other, one wanting to dominate over the other. And governments were always self-motivated by those in charge of the governments. We come down to our time today and we have modern attempts at peace by alliances between nations. But whenever you find an alliance, it is an alliance of certain nations against an alliance of other nations. And it's always to fight and to conquer. It's never for peace, it's for war.
That was Herbert Armstrong, actually from a 1984 sermon. I was going to read a 62 quote. Sam got a little trigger happy there in the booth, but that's all right, it fits. It fits in. Whenever you see nations coming together in an alliance, it's always in an alliance against other nations. That's the point that he made in 1984. It's not to bring peace. It's not to, hey, let's get together Japan and China and South America so that we can then work a better trade deal with the United States and we can all live together in peace. It's never about that. It's always about one or two or three ganging up against the other. And it's happened over and over again in history. I mean, that's some wise counsel indeed, what we just heard there from Herbert Armstrong. That's the kind of wisdom and understanding you're just not going to get from Bloomberg or some of these other pieces that they're doing a good job of reporting the facts. But what about the understanding of these facts? What about understanding where all of this is leading? That 1962 statement, Herbert Armstrong said, the United States is going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocks, Europe and Latin America, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. You add that in with these alliances they're forming with Eastern nations, Russia, China, Japan. And then consider what the Bible says about human nature. Think about that audio clip we just played for you. Whenever you find an alliance, it's an alliance of certain nations against an alliance of other nations, and it's always to fight. It's always to conquer. It's never for peace. It's for war. That's what America's enemies are preparing for, to bring down the United States. They're preparing for war. They're preparing for trade war. They're preparing for hot war. Now, there's prophecies that talk about, you know, the mindset that they don't even know what they're preparing for, but this is where it's leading. Just being students of history can inform us of this, and certainly adding to that, what your Bible prophesies. Just to finish this Bloomberg piece, it says here, internationally, we're seeing a tendency toward protectionism and navel-gazing. That's quoting Abe, Prime Minister Abe of Japan. That's what he said in this news conference when he was with Merkel on, I think it was Sunday night or Monday. It was yesterday. Just yesterday. He said, what we need is trade that's both fair and free. You know, they're the champions now of free trade. China supposedly is now. Germany supposedly is now. Not the United States. The United States is bad. They're protecting their own. They want all the jobs in the United States. They want to slap tariffs on all of our goods. They're trying to hurt us. It says the display of German-Japanese unity, I mean, that in itself should set off an alarm bell for some, you would think. German-Japanese unity? That's what we're seeing. It underscores a rift elsewhere among the world's biggest economic powers after U.S. insistence on fair trade triggered conflict at a weekend meeting of the Group of 20 finance chiefs in Germany. Talks about another potential clash looming when the leaders get together in the Group of Seven summit that's coming up in May. Bloomberg says Merkel pushed back against Trump's pledge to enact America First policies and drew contrast to Japan and Germany, the world's third and fourth biggest economies. Okay, so the United States is first, but what happens when number two, number three, number four, number five, six, seven, and on down the line? What happens when they come together in this dynamic market of nations? Do you think do they not have any leverage? Is the United States too big to fail? There's some in the United States who think that. Well, how can the rest of the world survive without us? I mean, we're the United States. We're the world's superpower. We're the single biggest economy in the world. There's a lot of people who think that way, and they're deceiving themselves into thinking that we're too big to fail. We're too big to fall. Of course we want fair markets, but we don't want to put up barriers, Merkel said Sunday in Hanover. At a time when we have to quarrel with many about free trade, open borders, and democratic values, it's a good sign that Germany and Japan aren't quarreling about that. There's lots of... And this is Angela Merkel. Wait until the Daniel 8 man gets in there. But, I mean, this is even pretty strong for her. Yeah, there's a lot of quarreling going on around here. But you know what's really nice? The fact that Germany and Japan aren't quarreling. We're coming together. We're forming alliances here. This is a show of unity. But what did Herbert Armstrong say? Whenever you see that happen, you know what's coming next. You know it. Not even just because of Bible prophecy. You know it because of human nature. It says the U.S. stance is, this is to finish Bloomberg, the U.S. stance is pushing China and Germany, the world's number one and number three exporters, closer with Merkel and President Xi Jinping renewing their support for open markets in a phone call on last Thursday. So it's pushing China and Germany together. It's pushing Germany and Japan together. It's pushing the EU and South America together. This piece over here at MarketWatch. How about this for a headline? Germany hits back at U.S. in trade policy spat. That's from today. I mean, Germany's posting a world record right now of surplus. So almost $300 billion in trade surplus. And China's right behind with $245 billion. And so the Trump administration comes out and says, look, there's a huge imbalance here. We've got to even this out. I mean, China's slapping a $30,000 per Jeep tariff on these American exports. So there's certainly some unfairness there. But as the United States turns inward and prepares to increase tariffs itself, these other nations are acting, and they're acting fast. Germany hits back. Germany hits back. That's in the title. It says here, this is MarketWatch, the euro has lost around a quarter of its value against the dollar over the last 3 years as a result of policies of the ECB, which has launched a series of massive stimulus programs aimed at supporting growth and inflation. Peter Navarro, you remember some of this recent history here. Peter Navarro, the head of the U.S. President Donald Trump's National Trade Council, told the Financial Times in January that the euro's low valuation gave Germany an advantage over its main trading partners. And a lot of people have acknowledged this to be true. It is true. But listen to this. Germany's Council of Economic Experts hit back on Monday. This is yesterday. After all the back and forth, the lead up to Angela Merkel's visit on Friday, and then her comments after that, and then the United States responding, and so on and so forth, it says here, it hit back on Monday, calling such comments totally misguided. That's referring to Peter Navarro's comments, saying, hey, you've devalued the currency. It benefits you and you alone, and we want fairness. Germany's response, at least this Council of Economic Experts, their response is that the United States is totally misguided. And listen to this. Listen to this. It says America's extraordinary privilege of being able to print dollars, the global reserve currency, has allowed its government to finance persistently large deficits, said Mr. Andritzky. He's within this group, the Council of Economic Experts. Look at the arrogance coming from America. Look at the extraordinary privilege. Here they have the reserve currency, and they just think this party's going to go on and on and on, that they can just keep printing money to finance these huge deficits. Okay, you want to talk about our problems? Let's talk about yours. Go back to what Mr. Armstrong said. When you see these alliances form, just know that it's an alliance against another alliance or nation. That's always the way it is. There's a lot of nations, to be sure, that are resentful of the fact that the U.S., when the U.S. hits a financial crisis, well, their solution to this point has just been to print more money. The other nations don't have that luxury. And so they need their income from trade or from whatever else it is. They're desperate for that. And when they see that evaporate away, they're going to take action. Germany's hitting back. That's what we're seeing. Trade wars have begun. They're responding. The U.S. has the world's single greatest economy, but it's also the greatest debtor nation on earth. And you think Germany realizes that? What about China? What about Japan? What about the nations in Central and South America? What about Russia? This dynamic market of nations, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on it. It's happening. for decades and decades, as I played for you earlier, Herbert Armstrong warned that trade wars would trigger hot wars, that trade wars would precede World War III. He said in 1968 that the beginning of World War III would be, this is quoting him, economic in nature. That's from 1968. He said, we have shown how God prophesied a virtual trade war will get underway against the United States and Britain. That's from 1968. What is that? That's 50 years ago. Nearly 50 years ago. You heard it here first. You want to talk about excellence in broadcasting or in publicizing? God really did amplify his message going out through Herbert Armstrong and the Plain Truth and the World Tomorrow program. And of course, we've followed right in those same steps. There is no other publication, there is no other radio station or website or anything that is explaining this to you, that's telling you where this is all leading. 1968. Notice what he said in 1971. Here he's talking specifically about America turning to protectionist policies. He said, either we start raising high tariff barriers against other countries, starting a trade war, which in time will trigger the nuclear war that will destroy us, or American workers are going to have to meet the competition of the workers in other countries by lowering living standards. Obviously, American workers are not going to choose to do the latter. And so President Trump, Navarro, all those from the administration, I mean, they've got the full support of American workers who are there cheering them on. Yeah, that's right. Look at what they're doing to our Jeep Wranglers. Look at what Europe's done to, or rather Germany has done to the euro. Look at the billions of dollars that benefits them, hundreds of billions. Look at the jobs they're taking away from the United States, moving these factories down to Mexico or over to China. Mr. Trump has the full support of the working class, and so he's carrying out these promises, these campaign promises, all in the name of fairness. And here we are, just a couple of months into his administration, and it is accelerating. These alliances, just as Mr. Armstrong said, play it again one more time. This is clip two from a 1984 sermon.
But city governments then began to arm themselves against other governments, and there began to be strife, not cooperation, but war. One trying to destroy the other, one wanting to dominate over the other. And governments were always self-motivated by those in charge of the governments. We come down to our time today, and we have modern attempts at peace by alliances between nations. But whenever you find an alliance, it is an alliance of certain nations against an alliance of other nations. And it's always to fight and to conquer. It's never for peace, it's for war.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor, violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Yet another article, and a long line of them about the danger or the threat of cyber attacks. War in space, it's becoming a real threat. That's in the Washington Post this morning. It says here, today's digital world hangs on the satellite networks that invisibly circle the globe. They're the wiring system for many commercial and military operations down below, and they're highly vulnerable to attack. Russia has jammed GPS reception in Ukraine. China has hacked U.S. weather satellites. North Korea has jammed signals over the demilitarized zone. It says later, the cloud overhead is thickening. It talks about all of the satellites orbiting the Earth. Over 500 put up there by the United States, 181 from China, 140 from Russia. More than half are in low Earth orbit. A little later, it says a wake-up call came with China's 2007 test of an anti-satellite missile that destroyed a Chinese target in space. That was in 2007, 10 years ago. It says rocket attacks against satellites worry the Pentagon less these days than electronic ones. Satellites could use jammers to sabotage other satellites. That's the real danger. It says ground systems can already create electronic bubbles that block GPS signals. That's how the Russians used it to disable the Ukrainian drone back in 2014. Here again, we point you to the prophecies. Ezekiel 7:14 says, when they blow the trumpet to go to battle, no one responds. No one responds. That's because of a total breakdown in technology. That's because of a cyber attack, as my father explained back in 1999, almost 20 years ago. So here's the threat, and it's coming from Russia, it's coming from China. All of these nations that happen to be coming together, forming alliances. Russia and China in prophecy. We have a booklet that goes by that very name. There's a piece today at the Washington Free Beacon. Military cooperation between Russia and China hits a three-decade high. A three-decade high for Russia and China coming together. The Beacon says they're displaying the highest level of military cooperation in three decades. And this poses a threat to who? Well, the United States, of course, and the United States' allies. U.S. air superiority in the Asia-Pacific is particularly vulnerable due to sustained Russian arms sales to Beijing and a new focus between the two militaries on missile defense, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission detailed in its new report. So a new report comes out yesterday, and what do we find? More and more threats. The United States, America's position, more and more vulnerable. It says here, since Chinese President Xi Jinping took office in 2012, The People's Liberation Army and Russian armed forces have staged increasingly complex military exercises. The drills have expanded drastically in geographic scope, suggesting increasingly aligned security interests. It says here, the joint exercises have also led to more frequent meetings between senior-level Chinese and Russian military officers. These contacts have allowed defense officials to conduct arms deals, prepare for joint exercises, and outline regional and global security concerns. Finally here, this is Washington Free Beacon. Despite mutual distrust between Moscow and Beijing, stemming from geopolitical and economic tensions, the report predicted the two countries would further deepen defense relations in the coming years to resist U.S. influence in the region. See, they're forming alliance. They're forming an alliance, a military alliance, to resist against U.S. influence in the region. Whenever you find an alliance, it's an alliance of certain nations against an alliance of other nations. It's always to fight. It's always to conquer. That has been man's history. It's never about promoting peace and unity. It's about preparing for war. It's a world primed for conflict, as we've been saying. In Luke 21, it talks about Jerusalem being trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That happens during the great tribulation. Jesus prophesied of it in Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. It's an end time prophecy. It's not something that happened way back in biblical history. It's not something, Jesus wasn't talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's talking about a future event. And it's going to be unlike anything this earth has ever experienced. Nothing ever like it before. And there's so much graphic detail all through the Bible. So many scriptures that say the same thing. None like it. Jeremiah 30 says, a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel said. And where is it all leading? It's leading to world war. Let me just conclude over in Revelation 9. This is that section that just talks about the size of the army that's going to form. Once this this alliance in the East, I mean, the European alliance with the Asian nations, as my father brings out in the Isaiah booklet, it's just for a short time to bring down the United States, to bring down Great Britain. But once they've come down, once they've collapsed, once Ezekiel 4 and 5 have been fulfilled, well, then you can see other alliances begin to quickly take shape as Europe eventually lashes out at that Asian combine in a preemptive strike. And then the kings of the East responding in kind. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This fifth angel, or this fifth trumpet, it signifies world domination by a European beast power. This is the first woe. And the verses that follow describe all-out war. It's about who's going to rule the world. It's about conquering the world. It's always for war, these alliances. It's never for peace. Mr. Armstrong wrote in his booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled at Last, this refers to a tremendous military power, and to the north, due north, world events are now moving rapidly to make possible the creation of a communist. Well, I didn't read the verses before this because he's commenting on verses 12 through 14. Let me just read it. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And so, as Mr. Armstrong says, this is talking about the formation of a communist Eurasian army of unbelievable manpower. And he went on to say that it's time we wake up and realize the significance of these prophecies and understand where these events are leading. Verse 15, it says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, it says, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them, a 200 million man army coming from an alliance of Asian nations, an alliance that puts China together with Russia and Japan and India and other nations as well. An alliance of certain nations against an alliance of others. That's what we're seeing. We're in the early stages of it. Trade wars have begun. Trade wars lead to hot wars. And all of this is prophesied in your Bible. An Asian conglomerate that unites to slay a third part of men. That's what we just read in verse 15. That's obviously never happened in history. It would have been impossible without modern weapons of mass destruction. So this is all talking about warfare beyond what this world has ever seen, which, of course, is exactly what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. But we can thank God that prophecy, if you continue reading, it also prophesies of a coming king, Jesus Christ himself, who's going to intervene, supernaturally intervene on the affairs of mankind to cut short these dreadful days and to establish God's family, God's kingdom on earth forever. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. As we wrap up just a few minutes early so I can hustle upstairs for my forum with the college students. If you'd like to email the program, you can send your comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.